40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports birthday salute to Kenyan athlete Stanley Biwott. Stanley is celebrating his 30th birthday on this Thursday in the British capital, London. On Sunday, Stanley will compete in the London Marathon. 2 years ago in London, Biwott ran a personal best time of 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 55 seconds and finished runner-up behind fellow Kenyan Wilson Kipsang. And last year, Stanley won the New York City Marathon. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with birthday boy Stanley Biwott ahead of Sunday's race. Here's Andy.
We're looking ahead to who's going to be the men's champion in the London Marathon on Sunday. It's Thursday right now in London. We've just had the elite men's press conference for the race, and Stanley Biwott of Kenya, one of those who I wonder whether he might spring a surprise. He's the New York champion from last autumn, alongside, of course, as ever in London, a very strong field, the likes of Wilson Kipsang, the world record holder Dennis Kimeto, and the Berlin champion Eliud Kipchoge. But watch out for Stanley Biwott. Stanley, is your confidence higher than ever, given that you come here as the New York champion? You've been consistent for many years, but now you're really amongst the elite?
Yes, for this year, I think I am in a better shape. In my consistency, I want to prove that I can win this race. So I am prepared very well, better than last year. You know, last year I started my training late, so because of my injury. So I came here when I was not fully healed. But I try my best because I ran 206, number 4. But this year I train free from injury, free from anything. I was focusing for London.
I hope you don't take it wrongly, but you know, there'll be a lot of people talking about Kipsang, Kipchoge, etc. But they shouldn't overlook you, I would think, because you've run London already 3 times. You know the course, and you have got those kind of skills in your running. You're very fast at half marathon, under 59 minutes. So, do you feel you go into this race the equal of anybody?
For me, I don't fear anybody or look at someone. I focus on my running, my training. I run my own race. That's very important to me. The way I've trained this time, I train fully for the London Marathon, focusing on it. So anybody who comes, we shall be running together. It's not we shall run as a team. But after one, we will match the winner.
You won New York Marathon last November. New York is a very different course to London. I remember hearing Paul Turgat say it's the longest cross-country race in the world, New York, because the terrain, the road surfaces change so much. How do you assess them to compare New York and London? Because you've run both.
Yeah, you know, New York is a different course. London is another different course. So for New York, in fact, the New York has enough pacemakers like London. So, and also the New York, the course is very tough. Yeah, it's London, it is not tough, but it is faster. So to compare to those two different races. Also in the London, we have some corners. It's have some corners and also very flat. So the competition here in London is very high. So I hope I'll be among the competitors who will be going for winning for London.
There's a lot of talk, understandably, about the problem of drugs in general in track and field athletics. And to the surprise, I think, of quite a few, there have been cases recently of East African runners, not just in Kenya, but also Ethiopia and elsewhere, testing positive, amongst many others from Europe and North America as well. You as an elite Kenyan runner, how do you feel about that? Because at present we don't know how widespread it is, but it's kind of rocked the confidence of those who see the Kenyan runners as great natural runners. I think it's fair to say that.
Yeah, I think when we say Kenya, it's my country, and it has a history of athletics from long time ago. Our fathers was running, and we want to keep that spirit that we ran clean. As for like me, for example, I know I am clean 100%, and I also tested severally. So, and I know that it's not that I love to run. That's my inspiration in my heart. That when I run, I lose fairly, I win fairly. That's my motto in running. So it is. If there is some few individual cases in Kenya, but I think the government is doing everything so that they can educate the athletes, there's everybody, and also to amend the laws that that protect and also criminalize the one who has offended.
Well, Stanley Biewold, on a happier note, we wish you every success in the London Marathon on Sunday. And as ever, London's going to be a fascinating race. Thank you very much, Stanley Biewold.
Thank you very much.
The energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with another top Kenyan in Sunday's London Marathon. Once again, here's Andy.
I'm with Eliud Kipchoge, who won Berlin last September. Now he's running in London Marathon on Sunday. Eliud, after the Berlin win, you said how important mental freshness was. That was even more important than physical. Well, how fresh are you before London, mentally and physically?
I'm really fresh. That's 6 months ago. I've trained for five good months. Good training, without pain. Otherwise, it's good. And training has been going on well.
I know that Kenya has yet to announce its Olympic marathon squad, but clearly you're one of the favourites. Has that played a part, that thought of possibility of running in Rio, in your preparation for London?
It's actually in the path, but the right part of my brain, but we need to do very well on Sunday so that we get slots to Rio.
You know all about London. It's always a great race, a great field. I mean, in a few seconds, just the tingle when you stand on that start line in London, is it special?
It's really special. It's one of the biggest races. I'm happy to come back again, and this is really a special race to be here.
Eliud Kipchoge, we wish you all success in London on Sunday. Thank you, Eliud.
Thank you. Thank you, too.
The energetic Andy Edwards doesn't ignore the ladies. Andy also caught up with Kenya's two-time London champion in the women's race. Once again, here's Andy.
The course record holder for the women's race in the London Marathon is sitting next to me, Mary Kaitani of Kenya, 2 hours, 18 minutes, 37 seconds. She set that for victory, and she's back hoping to win London for the third time, and only four women previously in the 35-year history of this race since it began in 1981 have achieved that. So, Mary, how are you feeling? How's training been going in pursuit of this this treble, three London Marathon wins?
Okay, thank you. My training in Kenya has been going on well, and I think I'm ready for Sunday's event, and I want to say that I have no any injury, and I've trained well, and hope to do my best on Sunday, knowing that if I win this event, I'll be selected to go to Rio to represent my country, and that's my prayers, and I hope I'll do well.
Do you compare, if you keep training diaries or records of training from year to year, when you went into London and ran that 2:18 to now, or do you, I don't know, maybe psychologically, is it better just you forget about it all and just concentrate on the present? Do you compare what you did in training from year to year?
Yeah, because like now I have a coach, so I think he's changing program every now and then. He's just comparing the one for last year and the one for the other year, and then he chose the program, which is good, making me to be capable to do a marathon. So I think you are not supposed to forget the training which you have been doing.
Are there any special changes introduced to prepare for the London course compared to others, such as New York, say?
When I mean changing the program, or when I mean you have to compare, is that you are shaped to be more than you all the other year or the previous workout. So that's, I mean, when I say my coach is just, he's the one who is doing it. He's the one who is looking at the program and giving me that such a day you have to do this. So training is just normal.
A year ago in London, Tikis Tufa, the Ethiopian who won, she broke away with about 3 miles to go. Do you train, do you kind of try and reproduce that situation in training where somebody is putting the pressure on you in your imagination with a 2 or 3 miles left and you have to stay with them and beat them?
No, you know, for me, last year my body was not reacting the way I wanted, and that's why Tufa just break 3 mile and I was not capable of catching up because my body was not reacting the way I wanted. And this time round, I didn't face the difficulties like last year, so I hope to run good on Sunday, even if somebody will be in top shape, and maybe if it is, if she is to move, I will follow.
Well, we look forward to what should be, as ever in London, a fascinating women's race in the marathon. Mary Kaitani of Kenya, and good luck with that, and also for that Olympic selection and of going to Rio. Thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you so much.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. This VOA programming note, my special guest on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports will be Matthew Stockman, the staff sports photographer for Getty Images. Getty Images is the official photographic agency of the International Olympic Committee. And Matthew will talk with me from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where he's preparing for the Olympic Games in August.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I had the voice of America calling on my way late. Now I was calling out of Frankfurt and Maine. I had the voice of America calling on my way late. Singing, come back, baby, come back. Come back.
The International Tennis Federation has scheduled a disciplinary hearing in Maria Sharapova's doping case and a ruling is possible before Wimbledon begins at the end of June. ITF President David Haggerty says the Federation's Tennis Integrity Unit typically takes 2 to 3 months to process a case. Sharapova was provisionally suspended on March 8th after announcing that she tested positive for meldonium at the Australian Open in January. The Russian star said she had been prescribed the blood flow boosting drug since 2006 and was not aware the World Anti-Doping Agency banned its use at the start of 2016. Russian officials want Sharapova to play at the Rio Olympics in August. Meanwhile, Haggerty is due in Rio on May 4th to check out Olympic preparations, including court surfaces and lighting at the Olympic tennis venue. Haggerty says the lights are currently being installed. In his words, if you have a night session and you don't have lights, you have a problem. Shine the light, David Haggerty, president of the International Tennis Federation. Meanwhile, John Isner, the top-ranked American tennis player, has decided not to compete at the Rio Games. Isner told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution newspaper that he opts to skip the Olympics in favor of focusing on the American hard court season, including the U.S. Open in New York. John Isner is currently ranked 16th in the world. He says he's planning on playing at a hard court tournament here in Washington at the end of July, and then another hard court tournament in Atlanta the week before tennis begins in Rio. At the 2012 Olympics in London, John Isner lost in the quarterfinals to eventual silver medalist Roger Federer. Isner says he has nothing against the Olympics, but Olympic tennis is not on the same level as a Grand Slam tennis tournament. Isner says, and I quote, "It's different for tennis players than for swimmers and track and field athletes. The Olympics are the pinnacle of their sports, but not so much the pinnacle of tennis." Cesar Cielo, Brazil's most successful and best-known swimmer, failed to automatically qualify for an individual event at the Rio Olympics. The 29-year-old Cielo might compete at his home country's Olympics in the relays if he's picked by Brazilian selectors. But Cielo missed out on his favorite event, the 50-meter freestyle, for which he holds the world record of 20.91 seconds, set in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in 2009.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @VOAsunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you.
Good to have you back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, this is a story that actually has elements of Twitter and Facebook, this Conor McGregor saga. As we're calling it now, of course, Conor McGregor is the mixed martial arts fighter involved with MMA and the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And earlier this week, he took to Twitter and sent out a very bizarre tweet where he said, "I'd like to retire young," or "I'm retiring young." And that
was he 27?
27 years old. Okay. Said, "I'm retiring young." That set everybody off out of the blue. Just made this announcement. And people said, "Is he joking? Is it serious? What's going on here?" So we're getting a little more information now. McGregor took to Facebook, which he's equal opportunity social media user. He made the announcement on Twitter. Now he's on Facebook. And he wrote this long Facebook post where he starts out, he says, "I'm just trying to do my job and fight here. I am paid to fight. I am not yet paid to promote." And so he alludes to the fact in this post that they were telling him to promote this upcoming UFC 200 fight in Las Vegas, that it was going to take out time from his training. He told him he didn't want to do it. And so that pushed him, I guess, to make this retirement announcement. And he ends it with this. He says, "For the record, also, I am not retired." So
interesting.
He's backtracking now. Now, this post that he made on Facebook just, you know, in a matter of hours has already been liked 386,000 times.
Wow.
And shared more than 154,000 times. So the word is spreading among his fans about this controversy that they're apparently trying to get him to promote this fight. He's allegedly been pulled from this UFC 200 fight. They said he's not going to compete in that fight. It's just this whole drama, but it's playing out on social media, and we're watching, and we're kind of along for the ride.
Yeah, I think there must be some publicity aspect that he's generating, maybe some more ticket sales for UFC 200.
Well, that's the thing that people are speculating, too. They're saying, was this all just kind of a publicity stunt or his way of promoting? He didn't maybe go to Vegas to promote this fight, but he's doing it on social media. Maybe that's the new avenue to promote these kind of things. But, you know, a lot of people questioning if he's going to remain banned from this fight or blocked from this fight, or if they're going to put him back at the last minute, try to drop even more controversy or more ticket sales.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we have the NBA playoffs, as we've been talking about, and TNT, which is a television network here in the United States,
founded by Ted Turner,
airing some of those games. And the other night, after San Antonio Spurs and Memphis Grizzlies played, they put up a little graphic, as they do towards, you know, during the game and at the end of the game, to show what the next, you know, games are that are coming up, when the next time they'll be on the air broadcasting the games. And so they put up the information for the Golden State Warriors-Houston Rockets matchup. Now, these are best of seven series, so they have, you know, the remaining games that they have to play. They have to play at least four.
Okay.
And then they'll do games 5, 6, and 7, and they'll put in parentheses after those, if necessary, in case they, you know, need to go to a full seven games or additional. Somebody, I don't know if it was a joke or what happened, but instead of "if necessary," somebody wrote "not necessary." Alluding to the fact that Golden State was, you know, expected to sweep the Houston Rockets. So they put "not necessary." So that quickly, hashtag "not necessary" was being used all over social media, as people were kind of laughing at TNT for making this mistake, but saying, well, even they've acknowledged that Golden State is just going to sweep the series, win it in four games. There's no need for a fifth, sixth, or seventh game.
Perhaps showing a little bit of graphic overconfidence.
I think so. Well, and as you mentioned earlier, I think you made a really great point as we were talking about this before the show. This could be a good motivator for the Houston Rockets. They might say, oh, yeah, it's not necessary that we, you know, have a game five. Do you think we're going to get swept? We're going to go out there and we're going to fight really hard to win. I don't know if that's going to be enough motivation for them to overcome this Golden State Warriors team, even without Steph Curry playing. They haven't won. So we'll see if they can overcome that tonight. But who knows? But it's a little funny, little not necessary.
Quick update on the NBA playoffs. Golden State leads the Houston Rockets 2-0. Game three is later Thursday night in Houston, Texas. Two other games on Thursday night. The Toronto Raptors will play the Indiana Pacers. That series is tied at 1 game each. And another game on Thursday night, the Oklahoma City Thunder will take on the Dallas Mavericks, and that series is also tied at 1 game apiece. In terms of social media, Andrew, the Mavericks are owned by Mark Cuban, and he has a pretty large social media presence.
Yeah, I'd say Mark Cuban is probably among the most well-known, if not the most well-known, of the NBA owners. Certainly on social media, he's on a show in the United States called Shark Tank, where people kind of pitch him ideas. He's made billions of dollars in business. So, you know, he's definitely a presence on there. And I have no doubt that he's, you know, using that to his, you know, the best of his ability to get his team out there and get their fans excited and all that kind of stuff.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And we'll see you on Friday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the April 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff, and thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Speaking at a seminar in Botswana's Ganzi district in early April, U.S. Ambassador to Botswana Earl Miller called Botswana a laudable example for other countries to follow. Now, Botswana could be among the first countries to actually control the HIV epidemic. The seminar was organized by an interagency team from the U.S. government in partnership with the District Multisectoral AIDS Committee. The U.S. also partnered with the Media Institute of Southern Africa. This program was sponsored by the U.S. President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR, which is the country's global health initiative to assist countries in responding effectively and sustainably to the HIV epidemic. Over the last decade, PEPFAR has committed more than $780 million to Botswana in its response to HIV. Together with the government of Botswana, civil society, and other development partners, we have come a long way, Ambassador Miller noted. Ambassador Miller lauded Botswana's progress toward meeting UNAIDS Global 90-90-90 targets, referring to the HIV testing, treatment, and viral suppression targets. 90% of those infected with HIV should be aware of their status, 90% of those aware of their status should have received treatment, and for 90% of those being treated, the drugs will have had the intended effect of suppressing the patient's viral load. A study sponsored by PEPFAR found that out of the 3,500 individuals from 30 communities who tested HIV positive, 83% of them knew their HIV status. Among people who knew their HIV status, 87% of them had initiated treatment, and 96% of those on the treatment had achieved viral suppression. This was only a relatively small sample size in just 30 communities, but it is encouraging. Ambassador Miller commended the government of Botswana for considering the adoption of the test and treat policy. Moving towards earlier initiation of treatment is strongly supported by a recent international randomized clinical trial, he said. Treatment also acts as prevention by lowering the risk of transmission to uninfected sexual partners. Now is the time to redouble our efforts and together run to and through the finish line.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the politics of South Sudan. reconciling and uniting the nation. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.